Glad to see everyone back with us this evening. You know, the 4th of July, that particular weekend, and really that particular day, has always been one of my favorite holidays. I was speaking with my grandmother earlier this week on the 4th, as a matter of fact, and reminiscing about years gone by. And it used to be that on the 4th, our entire family would meet there at my grandmother's and grandfather's house. They would have spent the entire week beforehand Granddaddy bush hogging the entire pasture down back by the pond. And we would have we'd make ourselves a softball field out there. We'd go down, we'd have a fish fry, and we'd have a family game of softball. We always had enough family there to divide into two teams, and actually had a whole lot more than what we needed. So rather than having 10 players on the field, we'd have about 20 at any given time. And we just had a great time. Those are some of my fondest memories of the 4th of July. Being able to spend that time with my family. Then as I got older, other things began to get in the way. I got into high school, and I had baseball games all during the summer through that. I began to be interested in girls, as you can imagine, and things began to get in the way of being there with my family on the 4th. And I began to think the other day, as my grandmother and I were talking about those times and how much we missed them, being able to spend that time with family and that time with one another, and the good times that we had, some of the practical jokes that were played and such, I actually began to think upon the actual meaning other than just spending time with family considering the 4th. You know, as a kid, that never really crossed my mind. That was just a time for us to get together. It was something that I looked forward to. But the other day, I began to think about Independence Day. What that meant for us as American citizens, for one. Then I began to think as well what it means to me to be free from sin. Hopefully our thoughts, considering this past Independence Day, have transcended the outward celebration of independence and have at some point centered upon the purpose of the holiday and the meaning behind it. Friends, our focus this evening will be to draw spiritual parallels from the historical aspect of Independence Day, and let's make some spiritual application. Number one this evening, one thing that I thought about considering our independence as Christians from sin is that at one time, we were under the rule of another. And I hope you have your Bibles handy tonight, because we're going to be burning through some pages here. We're going to look at a whole host of scriptures concerning our independence from sin. But as Christians, we used to be, at one time, we were under the rule of another. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And notice with me verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey the lusts thereof. Friends, Paul plainly puts it here, that sin is not to be our ruler any longer as it might have in days gone by. We are not to serve sin as we once have. Come with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 1. And we read, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or our manner of living in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Friends, quite simply, as Christians, we are no longer to be the servants of sin. As Christians, we have won our freedom, so to speak. That price has been paid by Christ upon the cross. While we used to be the servants of sin, we are no longer. We used to be under the rule of others. Of another, rather. That being sin, that being Satan, we are no longer. Just as we today are free from the rule of any other country. We are our own sovereign nation, friends. We now are free of the rule of sin in order to be able to serve Christ. Number two, just as a war was fought to establish our independence, a war has been fought, friends, to establish our spiritual independence. Just declaring our independence did not make it so. Just by writing the Declaration of Independence and sending it to King George did not make the United States of America a free country. A war had to be fought. A war had to be won in order for us to be considered free from foreign rule. We read in the Bible concerning, it seems, a picture of a war that once took place in heaven. In Revelation 12, 7 through 11, we see a picture there of a war that took place. We read, beginning in verse 7, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Friends, Jesus fought that ultimate battle as he died upon the cross and shed his blood. He bore our sins there to take them away from us. In Luke 10, verse 18, we read, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Friends, that happened. Then, figuratively speaking, he was defeated. As it was prophesied in Genesis 3 and verse 15 concerning that bruise to be put upon his head when Jesus died upon the cross and rose again the third day. That battle has been fought. We have been given our freedom by Jesus the Christ if we will but obey. Just as the war was fought to establish our independence, friends, we must also realize that when we won our freedom, we were under a new law. When the last battle was fought in the Revolutionary War, we were no longer under the law, no longer under the rule of Great Britain. We served a new law. We were ruled by a new law. It is the same for us today as Christians, spiritually speaking. When Jesus fought that great battle, when he died upon the cross, when he shed his blood there, he went into the tomb and he rose again the third day, friends, we were no longer under the law of the Old Testament. But he established a new law under which we live today. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Notice with me verses 1 and 2. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." As Jesus died upon the cross, was buried, and rose again that third day, as we said a moment ago, he established that new law. Paul writes of that new law there in Romans 8. Go back a couple of chapters with me to Romans chapter 6. Notice with me verses 1 and 2. Paul writes, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Now drop down to verse 12 and begin reading with me there. We read verse 12 a moment ago, "But let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? shall we sin, because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Friends, we have won our freedom in Christ. We are now under the law that He established, the New Testament. There are many in our world today that say, well, you know, we're under the New Testament, but there's parts of the Old Testament that we must obey as well. Friends, that's simply not the case. The old law was put away. The old law, every part of the old law was fulfilled. And so there's no longer any use for it. Thus, He established a new law. And so as we have our freedom, we serve that new law, the New Testament that Christ has delivered. As that battle was fought, as the war was fought for that new, to establish that new law, we have since, number four, fought a number of times to preserve our freedom. Staying in Romans, look with me at Romans chapter 7, verse 15 to begin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Now dropping down to verse 22, we read, For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. We see here in Romans chapter 7, Paul's war among his members. His war between the lust of the flesh, the lust to do what he had in the past done, and knowing the law of Christ, knowing that we are to serve Him, there is always that war taking place. There are things in this world that will always tempt us to transgress the law of God. Question is, who's going to win? Will it be my desire to serve God or my desire to serve the flesh? Which desire is stronger? Looking at the life of Paul, it's obvious to see that he time and again fought that battle and overcame with the law of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 11, Peter writes to us to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Notice that Peter says there to abstain from fleshly lusts. Stay away from them. Don't give in to them. Don't have any part of them. Abstain from them. Friends, as we look, physically speaking, concerning this country, threats to freedom come from without and within. It seems here lately that, as far as this country is concerned, we're fighting more battles within than we are from without. But friends, spiritually speaking, it is those threats from within as well that are the greatest. Remember Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, 28 through 32, that after he left, grievous wolves would enter in among them. Threats to freedom come from within and without. But friends, it is those that are within that we must take heed to the most. We must be sure to purge ourselves of them. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. 2 Timothy 2, 17 and 18. Notice what Paul writes to the young evangelist. And their word will eat as doth a canker, or a cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Friends, these people, these men, these people that he's talking about here, they were members of the Lord's church. And yet they were teaching false doctrine, but because they weren't, because others around weren't aware, weren't constantly searching the Scriptures perhaps, they were led away. Friends, are we prepared? I hope that we are, to fight the battles that might come at us from within, to preserve the truth of God's Word. We fight battles every day, spiritual battles, to preserve our freedom from sin. This is just one of the many battles. Friends, we must realize as well that freedom must be maintained lest it be revoked or lost. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 as we discuss point number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. Freedom must be maintained lest it be revoked or lost. We read there in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Friends, one of the things that we must be aware of is we must know our enemy if we are to maintain our freedom, if we are to preserve our freedom. If we do not know our enemy, we have no chance of winning the battle. We must know our enemy. We must be aware of his devices. We must be aware, particularly, of our own fleshly desires and what it is that we must stay away from if we're going to win that battle. In Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, Paul, writing to the Galatians, says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Friends, notice what Paul says here. Those that had decided to go after these Judaizing teachers, these Galatians, these Greeks that had gone after these Judaizing teachers, notice that what Paul says of them, they had already fallen from grace. They had turned their back on the law of Christ and gone back to the law of bondage. That is, the law of Moses. Because if they did one part of the law, they're debtors to the entire law. That is, they must carry out the entire law. That was something that Paul was trying to get across to the Galatian brethren there. That there is no other gospel but the one delivered by Christ. Going back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verses 3 through 5, Paul writes, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Friends, time and again, Paul gives us the picture of a soldier. He depicts the armor of a soldier in the book of Ephesians. He depicts a soldier time and again in the battles that must be fought. And here he does it again with Timothy. He depicts a soldier, and then in verse 5, he depicts an athlete that strives for the mastery. And notice what he says concerning the athlete. He's not crowned unless he strives lawfully. That is, according to the law. In other words, cheaters cannot win. Those that do not do so within the rules, so to speak. Friends, those who break the laws, as prisons are indicative of, those who break the laws, they forfeit their freedom. Thus, those that would break the law of Christ, those that would break the law of God, forfeit their eternal freedom by turning their back on the law of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, Peter writes, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Friends, we must be aware at all times. Vigilance is required to maintain our freedom. Friends, as we pointed out before concerning this particular passage, most specifically verse 8, a roaring lion is not a hunting lion. Have you ever thought about that? This lion is roaring. As we look at the world around us, temptation to sin lies all about us, but the only thing that a roaring lion is going to catch is the deaf and the maimed. Friends, as Christians, we cannot allow ourselves to become deaf, spiritually speaking. We cannot allow ourselves to be maimed, spiritually speaking. We must always maintain a high level of awareness. Have you ever been watching the Discovery Channel or some other show, Animal Planet, whatever the case may be, and it's showing a lion or one of those other big cats hunting? You ever notice the prey? Every once in a while, the lion or the cheetah or the leopard, whatever it is that is hunting, it might catch its prey, but the percentage of it is really very low to the number of times that they try. The reason for that is the awareness of their prey. They may put their head down to feed for a few moments, but it's just a couple of seconds. I know numerous times I've been in a deer stand, and I'm fascinated by their behavior. I will not have made a sound. The wind is blowing from them to me, so I know that they haven't smelled me, but it seems like they've always got that sixth sense that something is just not right. Their head is always... they'll go down, it'll pop right back up. Friends, we must have that same level of awareness. Be aware of our surroundings spiritually so that that roaring lion is not able to come within striking distance. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, not only is vigilance required to maintain freedom, but diligence is required to maintain and preserve our freedom. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10 says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall." Friends, are we diligent in doing whatever it is that we can to continue to grow in the faith on a daily basis? Because if we're not growing, that line is getting closer. We must be diligent to preserve our freedom. Now friends, as we consider these things, one last thing that I want us to consider. And friends, that is, if you are here and you've never obeyed the gospel, none of this really applies to you. Because if you've never obeyed the gospel, you are still the servant of sin. Never having obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine of which Paul spoke in Romans 6, 17 and 18, which we read a few moments ago. If you've never obeyed the gospel, then Jesus is not the author of your eternal salvation, Hebrews 5 and verse 9. If you've never obeyed the gospel, then you've never proven your love for Christ. John 14 and verse 15, where Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." One of those commandments being baptism for the remission of sins. Friends, if you've never obeyed the gospel, what are you waiting on? Wouldn't you like to be free? Wouldn't you like to enjoy independence from the law of sin? And friends, why not obey Jesus tonight and enjoy the privileges of freedom that He provides? Those privileges that we see in Romans 8, verses 5 and 6. Consider these things, friends, as we put away our Bibles and take out our psalm books, being ready to sing the invitation psalm here in just a moment. Are you ready, friend, to win your freedom tonight by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you believe that He is the Son of the living God, that He came to this earth and bled and died for the remission of your sins? If you believe that, friend, are you willing to repent? Turning your back on sin, turning your back on the world, giving your life wholly over to Christ, confessing Him before men so that He will confess you before the Father in heaven, and being baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. Would you do that this evening? Friend, it may be that you're here, and at some time in the past, you've done all those things. You were awarded your freedom, but for whatever the reason is, you've allowed yourself to be caught in the bondage of sin again. Would you come home? Would you be free again, giving your life back to Him? Friend, if you have a need, we ask that you come now while we stand and while we sing.